You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, free all deep penetrating oil when you got those rusted nuts and bolts, whether you got a seized engine, stuck ball joints, corroded U-bolts, whatever you need to loosen up, free all delivers three times more lubricant to rusted or frozen parts, and it frees them with ease. Also, it takes less spray, less torque, and less time than any other penetrating oil to get the job done. It's also body shop safe, which means it's safe on paint, plastic parts, silicone free, available at AutoZone, O'Reilly, Napa Auto Parts Store, select Walmart stores. Again, free all deep penetrating oil. All right, tonight we've got Baylor and Gonzaga, the two top teams in the country most of the season, getting at it tonight in Indianapolis, coming off a Final Four matchup. One was, all right, in the books early, and the other one was an all-time classic. Patrick Stevens joins us, Washington Post, to go over that on our Progressive guest line. Progressive, making it easy to bundle and save on home insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. How are you, Patrick?
I'm well, and you?
Good. All right, your thoughts, before we get to tonight's game, your thoughts on the UCLA-Gonzaga matchup, which everybody is just sort of saying this is one of the best games ever played.
It was certainly an excellent game, for sure, and you think back to, you know, between the performance of Johnny Juzang and UCLA basically doing so much right. I mean, think about it. UCLA shot 57.5% from the floor. They made more free throws. They made more three-pointers. They had the same number of turnovers, and they still somehow lost this game because Gonzaga was just a teeny bit better. And obviously the finish is what everybody will remember. I mean, I would say that one of the more memorable plays of the game was actually right at the end of regulation.
Yeah.
with the block charge call, and Drew Timmy, you know, if he fouls out there and UCLA gets a couple free throws, we're not having this conversation. We're talking about how it's a massive upset rather than a game for the ages instead. So, certainly a memorable game. And, you know, I think it kind of backs up the thought that I've had on Gonzaga all along, which is you're going to have to score with them. Like, I never thought that Gonzaga was unbeatable, but I have thought for a while that offensively they might just be unstoppable. And you're going to have to score in the 80s or the 90s with them in regulation to be able to win. And that's what UCLA did to give themselves a chance to win. And so I think Baylor is in the same boat. I think they're a little bit better equipped, a little deeper. But it's not going to be a game, I think, tonight that you're going to see where the final score is in the mid-60s. I think these teams are going to get after it and get into the 70s or even more likely into the 80s.
It's hard to project, I know, but in terms of speculating, how do you think a win like that for Gonzaga plays into tonight's game? That was the first time they've been really pushed all season. And for them to sort of go to the locker room going, you know, we took a team's best shot. We had our backs to the wall. We did respond. How does that play positively? How does that look when you go up against a team like Baylor?
I think it can't hurt. You know, you think about the history of these undefeated teams going into the Final Four, and everybody's scrutinizing them left and right. You look back at 91 UNLV, which had won a title the previous year and hadn't been challenged very much, and Duke takes them down in what was another classic NCAA semifinal. And you think about the Kentucky team from 2015,
yeah,
which everybody assumed was just going to roll everybody, even though they'd been tested a little bit more. And they wind up losing to Frank Kaminsky in Wisconsin. I mean, Gonzaga just took that punch. And now you basically get the game that everybody kind of wanted from the start of the season. They were supposed to play back in December before virus issues interfered. You know, it's the first time since 2005 that we've seen the top two seeded teams in the entire event wind up in the title game. That was Illinois and North Carolina. You know, I think it's the game everybody wanted, and if you're Gonzaga, it's the game that you wanted to demonstrate that you really are the best team in the country.
Well, we know we've talked about a little bit about Gonzaga from a Baylor perspective. They roll over Houston. They have no trouble there. They're getting scoring from a lot of different places. In terms of their depth, and everyone's been pointing at that's been a good key for Baylor, how deep does this team go?
Well, I mean, you kind of look at the box score from the other day, and they had eight guys play 15 minutes or more. So I wouldn't sit there and say that it's a team that's as deep as, say, a Florida State, which routinely goes 10, 11, 12 deep. But they're very, very comfortable with all of those guys. I mean, there were a couple starters that played only 15 or 16 minutes in that game. Mark Vidal only played 15 in part due to foul trouble. But overall, you know, I think that they're very comfortable with their eight-man rotation. I'm sure that they feel like they could spot a guy, a ninth guy, a minute or two here and there. You know, and as for Gonzaga, you know, it's a team that's going to rely heavily on those top six or seven guys. They only went seven deep in their game against UCLA. So a little bit of an edge depth-wise, I think, to Baylor. But at the top of the charts there, you look at Gonzaga's top three guys, the Suggs, Timmy, and Kispert. Those three guys are pretty darn good and can probably wipe out some of that deficit that's due to depth.
Is Baylor good enough defensively to just put themselves in a position where they're like, hey, look, we're controlling this a little bit more, like what UCLA did? Just hanging around, we'll make shots, but we'll also just keep this game in check.
Well, I think Baylor's really good, and I think that they're better than UCLA is, as good as UCLA sure. was over the last few weeks. I mean, this is a really strong team, whether it's Butler or Davion Mitchell. You know, I'm curious to see exactly what sort of impact Mitchell has in this game, just because of the impact that he's had defensively throughout this tournament and throughout the season. But I do think, like I said earlier, with Gonzaga, you're just gonna have to score. You think about UCLA averaging about 1.3 points per trip, and they still didn't win. You know, I think Baylor can probably do a somewhat better job on Gonzaga defensively, but this is still a Gonzaga team that has made it into the 80s, I think, all but two or three times this season. I think St. Mary's kept them out of that a couple times, and somebody else did too. But overall, like, you're just going to have to score, no matter how good you are defensively. That said, this is probably one of the better, if not the best, I don't know if I'll say the best, but certainly one of the better defensive challenges that Gonzaga is going to get. Worth noting, as a KenPom guy, Gonzaga number one in offensive efficiency, Baylor number two in offensive efficiency. You know, I think both of these teams are going to score to their heart's content tonight.
It is amazing. You get this tournament and it gets filled with these upsets, and everybody loves the upsets. But if you hand the public a one versus two, teams that were good last year and we couldn't get a tournament in, and then they finally are able to meet, all the Cinderella stories are great. UCLA's run is great, but this is the matchup we should be getting out of this tournament.
It is the matchup that you should be getting, and it should be noted that all of those upsets help make that possible.
Right,
you
very
know,
true.
Like
right.
You know, if Gonzaga's playing Michigan the other night, does Michigan knock them off, perhaps? I mean, possibly. Certainly wouldn't count out that possibility. And so, you know, I kind of look at that as they're a little bit of hand in glove there. You know, you look at Baylor. You know, they obviously had some tests throughout their run, obviously, went through a 3 seed and a 5 seed, I believe, before they faced Houston. But Gonzaga faced an 11 in a national semifinal, faced a 6 in a regional semifinal. So it's not as if some upsets haven't helped pave the road to get us this matchup tonight.
Which matchup in terms of player versus player tonight are you really looking forward to seeing?
You know, I'm just kind of curious to see all of them, to be perfectly candid. You know, there's so many great players on both of these teams. And like I said earlier, this is the matchup that we were all kind of hoping to have back in December. And I kind of wish that we had that just to sort of inform what this thing was going to look like. But obviously, you know, like I say, you know, there's probably four or five guys that are going to be on the floor that you could make a credible case for to be a first, second, or third team All-American overall. I mean, you got Suggs, Timmy, and Kispert on one side. You've got Mitchell and Butler on the other. And that's overlooking guys like Macia Teague for Baylor. Overlooking guys like Ayayi for Gonzaga. A lot of great players, and I'll be sure to – I know I'll be enjoying seeing exactly how they all match up tonight.
Patrick, did you feel or do you feel that – from the public standpoint, I mean, there's internal pressure and there's external pressure. Do you feel like there has been, from the public in general, pressuring of Gonzaga to win this thing? We loved their Cinderella story, but now they're a powerhouse, and now it's time for them to win a championship. Have we given that pressure to Gonzaga? What does it feel like to you from the perception of this team?
I don't know if I would say that, in part because this is such a different tournament. Like, who's feeling much pressure in a scenario where there's hardly any people in the building and you're bubbled up and you're all basically you're sort of in a vacuum of your own? So, you know, in some ways, I think this has been a, you know, just do the best that you can type of thing, like, you know, sort of a pure competitive scenario more than anything else. And, you know, I think we got that in that Gonzaga-UCLA game overall. So I don't know if any sort of public pressure or public desire is playing a role in any of this. I think it's a team that was built to win this year. They had it lost, and they have a job that they want to complete tonight. And on the Baylor side of things, it's much the same way. I mean, they have tripped up a couple times, but also a team that I think everybody thought from the start of the year was good enough to be playing on the last day of the season, and here they are.
We had one game in this tournament that was moved advanced because of COVID, but we didn't have any others. We didn't have COVID really affecting it other than the crowds. Will we still remember this tournament differently? Will this stand out because of the pandemic? Or did this play out in a way where we sort of lose those details and go, man, it was a great tournament and it had a good final?
I think the entire setup of the tournament in one place, where the calendar got juggled a little bit, the stretch between the regional finals and the Final Four was shorter than it normally is. I think you can't help but have it basically be the pandemic tournament. I think as a one-off type thing, it's something that people will remember for some of that stuff, for players being basically, you know, quarantined in their rooms and whatnot. I think ultimately, depending on how tonight goes, you know, I think the tournament will be remembered in large part by what happened on Saturday in that Gonzaga-UCLA game. But if Gonzaga wins tonight in particular, I think the number one thing, maybe more than the pandemic issue, is that for the first time since 1976, there's an undefeated national champion. So if you put me on the spot, I would say a Gonzaga win makes that the defining thing of this tournament, followed by the pandemic, followed by just sort of the all-in-one area element that we've never seen, certainly in the modern era, and probably won't see again anytime, hopefully in the near future.
Patrick Stevens, Washington Post, again joining us to talk some college basketball tonight, Gonzaga and Baylor. Appreciate your time, my friend. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having me. Take care.
You got it. Patrick Stevens on our Progressive guest line. Quote, buy and save on home insurance with Progressive's new home, quote, Explorer, only at Progressive.com. Final thoughts for tonight's game as we continue. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.